Hello, everybody, and welcome in to another special podcast right here on Sports Talk Chicago. My name's John Zaglul, and on today's show, we're talking with an all-time NFL great and Chicago Bears legend about the team as it stands this year, plus his amazing career, his charity flag football game coming up this Saturday, and so much more. Now, before we get started, make sure to follow us on Twitter at ChiTalkSports and hit me up personally on Google+, LinkedIn, and Instagram at John Zags, on Twitter at John Z Sports, and now on Facebook at John Zaglul. Today's show is brought to you by Moochie World, where inspiration meets creation. Call 708-247-2100 to book parties, paint your own pottery, and have art classes for adults and children. Moochie World, creativity at its finest, and by the Windy City Thunderbolts. Celebrate the team's 20th anniversary season by purchasing tickets today. Call 708-489-2255 for your chance to be a part of history this summer in Crestwood. It's now time for our special guest. He began his NFL career in 2006 with the Chicago Bears, leading the team to Super Bowl 41 while also making it to the Pro Bowl. Following his rookie season, he became the Bears' number one wide receiver, making the switch from the cornerback position. By 2014, he had earned his fourth Pro Bowl selection while leading the league in kick return yardage. And just 3 years later, he announced his retirement from the NFL. Today, he holds the record for most combined special teams return touchdowns at 20 and the most punt return touchdowns with 14. Please welcome Devin Hester back to the show. Devin, how are you doing today? And thank you for being here on the show.
I'm doing pretty good, man. Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, to start today, Devin, let's take a look at the Bears and their expectations heading into the 2019 season. Now, last year was a huge success despite the way things ended. And although the kicking situation and the loss of Jordan Howard are two storylines that need to be monitored as we enter the new season, I think there's a lot to be excited about for the Bears coming up. Based on what you saw last year and what the team brings to the table here in 2019, what are you expecting from the Bears during the upcoming season?
I expect the Bears to be playing with a lot of confidence, especially after the season that they had last year. You're pretty much bringing back the whole team, adding some new additions to the backfield. But other than that, you pretty much have the same team. They all used to play each other. You had some key plug-in guys from last year that made a big impact. So now those guys are starting to, hang out a little bit more off the field, and relationships are getting stronger. So when it comes time to playing football on the field, it's going to be so much greater.
You know, as a former Bears great and a member of the last Bears team to make the playoffs before 2018, I'm curious to know, number one, did you watch the wild card matchup between the Bears and Eagles last season? And if so, what was your reaction to the game's final drive ending with the Cody Parkey missed field goal?
Everything went perfect. They drove down consistently. They struggled driving down the last minute on the game. And, of course, the guy missed the field goal, but after, the replay and his ball was tipped. But, you can't say a lot of guys put a lot of pressure on the kicker and say, he missed the field goal. A lot of guys didn't see the tip. But at the same time, could he have got the ball up higher? Who knows, but it is what it is. So in my situation, I don't really blame nobody because it could go hand in hand, the guy getting up and fly tipping the ball or the kicker, putting a little bit more height on the ball with the kick. So at the end of the day, it's just one of them hit and miss type situation. That way, I hope that they can learn from the situation. I'm pretty sure they're working on that right now. They haven't already resolved their issue. And we can look forward to this season.
What do you think that moment says about the emphasis that we see in the game today on special teams units? I mean, when you played, I think it was much different. During your time here in Chicago, the Bears relied on you a lot to score some touchdowns and create scoring opportunities that weren't there at the beginning. Your returns manufactured touchdowns and good field position for the Bears as a whole. But today, though, it seems like a role like yours and others within the special teams unit are simply overlooked. Do you agree with that assessment? And have you seen a change in the importance of special teams playing the NFL since you've retired?
I do. I see they're starting to take the game out when it comes to return, taking the game out of it. But at the end of the day, if you have a great returner, you know, that's capable of giving, not only putting points on the board, but giving the offense great field position, you know, that's a key weapon. You know what I mean? What offense you would love to start on the 50-yard line every pretty much every single possession they get the ball? You know what I mean? All you need is one or two first downs, and you're in field goal range. And that's something that, you know, been missing in the game, you know, since, you know, a guy like a returner like myself has left. You know, now you every team is looking for that type of guy, you know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, offense, you know, one or two first downs in the field goal position, has the advantage of winning the game from that point on.
Does it at all concern you that the NFL is moving in this type of direction? I mean, let's say you played today. Would you be as valuable as you were 10 years ago in today's league? Does that worry you as a great kick returner that no one's appreciating that position as much in the game?
The way the NFL is playing now, and I wish I'd have came out of 2015. How much these players are getting these days, I wish I'd have came out of the draft in 2015, 2016. Yeah, the way I came in the game playing, it would have been a nice little chunk of change for me.
Devin Hester here on Sports Talk Chicago. And Devin, looking back now in your career, it's interesting because the way it turned out was much different than the way it began. After your rookie year with the Bears, head coach Lovie Smith made the decision to convert you into a wide receiver, and that happened despite the fact that you had wanted to stay on defense and follow in the footsteps of Deion Sanders. How difficult was it for you to make that transition? And looking back on it now, do you think that was the right move from a career standpoint?
Right move for the team? Yes, I do. Was it the right move for me? I didn't want to do it. But I'm a team ball player, and we knew that we was put in a situation where, as a team unit, I was probably the top two, top three players on the team with probably the best players on the team, top two or three on the team with the ball in his hand. So we get in situations where now we facing teams, pretty much the whole entire league wasn't kicking the ball to us. And it really, really just took away our game plan, you know, allowing on the great field position as well as a couple touchdowns. It took away our game plan. So now we had to figure out a way. How can I get my hands on the ball? And the only solution to that was moving the offense. So I don't blame Coach Lovett for the situation of moving to offense. You know, we were just put in a situation where we knew teams wasn't going to kick it to me. The only way to get the ball in my hand was moving the offense now. And that's the only reason why I got moved to the offense, because teams kicked away from me.
How difficult was that transition for you, though? I mean, having to learn the routes of a wide receiver, having to think like an offensive player, was that hard for you to do?
I would say it was very hard, you know, for me. A kid that never played wide receiver. So I never played wide receiver, part one, high school, college. That wasn't my position, you know. All I knew was running back and cornerback. And so got down on the new position that in the NFL, you know what I mean? Is it possible? I believe so, but it takes time, you know. And my situation, from the knowledge of knowing the offense and understanding each offense, it was at a disadvantage for me because I pretty much had a new offensive coordinator every year from the moment I moved to offense. So it wasn't like I was stuck in the same offense for 6-7 years to master it. You know, every other year I was getting a new offensive coordinator. So now we had to know a different language, we had to know a different route tree, we had to learn, you know, different formations and stuff like that compared to other guys that played receiver throughout their whole life. And this is pretty much the same thing, just different time zones, different languages. For me, it was everything was all new again. So I kind of felt at a disadvantage, but at the same time, you know, it is what it is.
You know, you talk about changing offensive coordinators and having constant regime change. Was that a motivating factor behind what happened after the 2013 season in which you and the Bears could not come to terms on a contract and then you left for the Atlanta Falcons? What was the reasoning behind you leaving? What's the story behind it? And did that have anything to do with you making the switch to the Falcons?
I wanted to stay, you know, but I pretty much was frustrated with the offense. To be honest, I felt that, you know, I wasn't utilized the way that I envisioned myself. I felt like I started understanding the game often. It's tough, you know. I felt like I wasn't getting targeted enough when I started understanding the game, you know, with the quarterback situation. And, you know, it took a big toll on me where I lost all interest in offense. Like, I didn't want any part of offense. I didn't want to go to the meetings. I didn't want a playbook. I didn't want anything to do with offense. It was just a beating on me, you know. It just frustrated me and killed me deep inside, you know. Like at the end when it was time for me to make a decision whether or not, you know, to move on, I didn't want to move on. I wanted to continue to be a Bear. I wanted to retire as a Bear. But the Bears, you know, they offered me a contract because they felt that my return skills wasn't valuable enough to just keep me on the roster as a returner. And so I had to go out and weigh my options and look for another team. And, of course, whatever the team that picked when I went and did my, you know, visits, the first team, of course, said, hey, we would love you to play offense. We're going to utilize your talent. We're going to make sure that you get the ball in your hands. And that's pretty much the team I decided to go to.
Now, obviously, today you and the Bears have repaired your relationship as you ended up retiring as a Bear, signing a ceremonial one-day contract in April of 2018. When did you know that it was time to hang up the cleats? And also, could we see a return to the field for Devin Hester? Is that something that's on the agenda?
Well, no, I'm retired. There's no doubt in my mind. It's 110% that I'm done. My retirement as a Bear is where I started, you know, and where I did all my hard work and dedication and all my passion. So I felt that it was fair for me to go back to Chicago and retire as a Bear. We all, and everybody knew that I was going to retire as a Bear, even myself. Knew that at the end of the day, wherever I go, once I left the Bears and went to another team, that one day I was coming back to retire. That was a no-brainer. You know, it was a no-brainer. And so, you know, I felt that that was the right thing to do.
Well, based on what you just said then, the next order of business that immediately comes to mind is the Pro Football Hall of Fame. As I had mentioned in your bio, you're the all-time leader in combined special teams return touchdowns and punt return touchdowns, but not everyone thinks that you belong in Canton. Do you see yourself as a Hall of Fame-worthy player?
Most definitely. And I always look at Hall of Famers, you know. And when guys get selected in the Hall of Fame, it's because they're the best at their position. You know, whether it's running back, whether it's a guard, whether it's a tackle, whether it's a DN, you pull up the stats. You pull up how of an impact that this guy here bring not only to his organization but to the league. And if any coach that I played against in my prime said they don't feel like I was a Hall of Fame, turn on the film and see if they kick to me. And if they kicked it out of bounds every time they played me, they sitting there lying to themselves and saying that I'm not Hall of Fame worthy. So that's my question to all the coaches that feel that I played against in my prime. If you feel like I'm not a Hall of Famer, let's watch the film and see if you kicked it to me. If you can't answer that question, no, we didn't game plan this guy, we didn't keep the ball out of this guy's hands, then you prove a point.
Based on what's been put out there so far and, you know, what's been said, how confident are you in making the Hall of Fame? Is this a realistic possibility to you?
I love this thing. So when you start asking questions to the high up players, the guys that won 4 or 5 Super Bowls, the guys that's already in the Hall of Fame, those are guys you need to ask. You know what I mean? Those guys that know the game, that understand the game, that played 10 to 15 years in the game, know the value of each player that's playing right now in today's society, know what they bring to the table. Those guys, in my opinion, should be asking these type of questions when it comes to what Hall of Fame player you think should be up next. When you ask those guys instead of the guys that's in the league playing now, that's 4 or 5 years in, it's not enough time for them to answer questions like this. Go to the guys that's already proven and don't play 10, 15 years, that's in the Hall of Fame, and know the game a little bit better than the guys that played 4 or 5 years. Those are the guys that should be asking all these type of questions. And they tell you, whether or not I'm a Hall of Fame worthy or not, I can accept that. I can accept hearing that from a guy that's a Hall of Fame that don't play 10, 15 years and says, Devin, I honestly don't feel like you're a Hall of Fame. Honestly, I can accept that. I can't accept it from a guy that's still in the league playing, that only played 4 or 5 years or 6 years in the league, that has his opinion. I can't accept that.
Continuing our talk with Devin Hester here on Sports Talk Chicago. And Devin, this upcoming weekend is going to be quite busy for you, as you and your former teammate Rashid Davis will be hosting a flag football game for charity over at Butler Lake Park in Libertyville, Illinois. How did this idea come about? What are the details? And what can fans expect for the event on Saturday?
We had the Bears 100th anniversary ceremony a couple months back. And, we was all best players, your ex-player. We're just, guys, hey, what you guys got going on today, since everything is done, football is done, what are you guys involved in? And I mentioned, I'm coaching a little C2 football player, football team. And the minute I said that, Rasheed said the same thing. And I was like, I coach a lot of inner-city kids, It would be a great idea if I brought my kids up to you guys. We play the game. I think it would be great experience for my kids, to be able to not only but just see an airplane, but to get on the airplane, and travel a little bit before the season kick off. And, we came up with a date, and we made it a nonprofit, a charity event, that way it can raise money for both teams, both nonprofit organizations. So we made it, it can raise a little money to help out our organization as far as, paying for the flights and the hotels to get my kids up there and everything. That would be a great idea and a great exposure for both teams.
And finally, Devin, before we let you go today, you had mentioned it just there about Bears 100. Now, you were there, and each Bears alum was being introduced to the crowd on day one of the event. And when it came to your turn, you decided to throw it back to your playing days, performing your signature Superman dance moves. How did it feel to relive something that was a big part of your playing days? And did you expect the reaction that you ended up getting?
I mean, when you look at back on my career, all I wanted to bring to the organization was excitement. I wanted to give the fans something to watch. Something fun, something explosive, something spectacular, something ridiculous to look for when the game kicked off. And I wanted to be that guy that said, when he touched the ball, I'm going to sit down and watch because I know something special is about to happen. And so that's what the game plan that I went in the NFL with, the mindset I went in the NFL with, that I want to put on a show for my fans and let them know that, hey, once I'm out here on the field, you're going to see something that's going to be special, spectacular, and ridiculous. And that's the way I image myself, is to put on for my fans and give them a great show to watch. So when you do stuff like that, you perform on the field, whenever I'm back in Chicago, that's the same impression I get from my fans. This day, and I can't help but love all my Chicago fans.
Well, Devin, thank you so much for joining me here today. Really appreciate the time. Hope to have you on again soon as well. And good luck this weekend with the charity game. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
What an honor it was to welcome Devin Hester onto today's show as we talk with him about his amazing NFL career, his Pro Football Hall of Fame chances, plus his charity flag football game coming up this Saturday in Libertyville. And what I appreciated the most about Devin today was his honesty. He was very upfront and open about a number of things that happened throughout his career, and he also issued a call to action to those who thought that he shouldn't be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So all in all, it was a great interview. I can't thank Devin enough for taking the time to come on, and I hope you as well enjoyed our very fun and informative conversation. Well, that does it for us here at Sports Talk Chicago. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at @ChiTalkSports and hit me up personally on Google+, LinkedIn, and Instagram at John Zags, on Twitter at John Z Sports, and now on Facebook at John Zagluel. Also, make sure to subscribe to the website. You can find the subscription box on the homepage of the site. Simply type in your email, click yes on the confirmation email, and from there, you'll be subscribed. You'll receive every new podcast and article directly to your email. And remember, Sports Talk Chicago is now on iTunes and Google Play. Simply search Sports Talk Chicago, and every podcast from the 2018-19 calendar year is now available. Feel free to leave us a 5-star rating and/or write a review. Your support is greatly appreciated. Thank you again for listening to today's show, and have a great day.